back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about a discussion I was having with a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about freedom of religion. Is freedom of religion a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it just a neutral thing? Well, I'll give you my opinions and thoughts down below, but I kind of want to summarize some of the pros and the cons of each of these. Of course, each one of our, you can think of a Cartesian coordinate system, a basic graphing system. Everything that's like a pro on the one side could be a con on the other and vice versa. So there could be a little bit of overlap here, but at the same time, there are a few distinctions I want to cover. So we're going to get into just the basic philosophy, and then we'll get into what I think the Bible actually teaches, and I could be open for correction. So let me know your biblical arguments down below if you disagree. I don't want philosophical or constitutional arguments. I want to see what the Bible has to say. And I see some verses that are interesting and compelling. So first and foremost, let's talk about the freedom of religion side. So should a nation have a freedom of religion? And looking at the pros of a freedom of religion, when you have a freedom of religion, you are allowed to have open discussion and dialogue about a variety of different purposes. And so this opens up the ability to talk and to chat about different things. Additionally, in a free society, where you can have a freedom of religion, you can establish a very good church, which can accumulate a lot of wealth, which can be used for preaching the gospel. Obviously, if they're accumulating wealth to build, you know, golden thrones for their crazy leaders, that is a problem. But a good gospel-believing church will utilize the resources in their facilities to the minimum amount they can. This is why I love what, what's the name of the one? Unshackled is out of the group up in Chicago. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of their mission now. I went through and toured their facility once years ago, and despite having a lot of resources come in, they don't even put like drop ceilings in. They want to keep the place as cheap as possible to use as many resources as possible to helping their community. That's Pacific Garden Mission, name just came to me. Excellent place. So this allows them to collect a lot of resources. Also, it allows us to train and send missionaries. It's really hard to train and send missionaries if you are a deeply persecuted church. This is a reality of it. Now, on the con side, freedom of religion, like American freedom of religion particularly, is where all of the heretical nonsense and even to this day persisting horribly false churches, horribly dangerous churches are allowed to breed. And unfortunately, many of them build a bigger audience than they should. But the reality is the Bible does tell us that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So it does actually make sense that a whole lot of people believe that they are doing the right things and aren't. That is not a general thing that, oh, everyone who professes the name of Jesus is definitely saved. That's not the picture the Bible paints, particularly in Matthew chapter 7. So it does allow those heresies to breed. It also allows people to convert to the true Christ. It also allows people to convert away from the true Christ. And I mean, this is a good time to point out, I am not talking about, should have mentioned this earlier, I am not talking about a theocracy where people are forced to believe in the Christian tradition. We are just talking about a nation in general. Do they have freedom of religion or not? Like China or some Islamic states. Of course, China is you do not have freedom of religion. The state religion is effectively atheism and no religion at all. Which is a religion in and of itself, but we'll let that be. Whereas an Islamic nation also does not have freedom of religion, but one must subscribe to the Islamic faith in order to not be placed on the undesirables list. We're not talking about a theocratic. We're just talking about the freedom to have your own faith or not. The other thing that it does is it does foster a lot of indecision. So if you do not have a real reason to truly, truly grasp onto Jesus, then you're just not really pushed or pressured into it. And so it does breed a lot more indecision. And a lot of that is, I think, the root of what is going on with a lot of our churches today. On the opposite side, let's look at the pros of a non-free religious state. A non-free religious state will persecute any form of religion. Of course, this will suppress false religions because few people will die for a false cause. Only really the self-deceived are going to be the ones that are taken in by that. But what happens in the Christian church over and over is a persecuted church is a strong church. This happens in our modern age. If you find a solid Christian church, well, if you find a Christian church that's preaching the true gospel in China or in many of the Islamic nations, they are very strong churches by default. They naturally come across the best of the doctrines. They're not wishy-washy and health and wealth and feel-good Jesus. They really are committed to the gospel because they know that they are putting their lives on the line for the gospel. A non-free religion state will have a stronger church by default because of the truth that perseveres. Okay, the second thing is that a non-freedom, this actually allows a person to clarify better doctrine. Your doctrine will always be better in a persecuted church. This type of thing is just a reality because, once again, you're not going to throw away your life for a wishy-washy feel-good, especially since many of these places occur in places where if you simply profess the name of Jesus, you will be executed. So a non-free religious system will clarify doctrine. Okay, moving on to the cons of such a circumstance. If you cannot have a freedom of religion, you cannot openly preach the gospel. And this is bad because the ways of sharing your faith become very underhanded. They're always through a realm of concern. They always carry with it some degree of uncertainty or unsettledness with it, which possibly is a strength, but at the same time, you cannot openly preach a gospel. And additionally, because it is not free, you cannot have these big bank accounts with all these donations coming into it and picking up a whole wide collection of resources in order to build up and send out the church. The reality is, under a non-freedom of religion, it is much more difficult to gather the particular resources one might need. Now I want to get into, what does the Bible say? What are the types of things the Bible might have to say about this topic? Now, there's no specific verse that says you shall have freedom of religion or not, except maybe the Old Testament, but we have to understand the Old Testament is a theocratic nation with God at the center. The New Testament does not paint the picture of a theocratic nation at all. It paints more of a picture of a free religion. And I want to start with Matthew chapter 10. And so this is Jesus as he's sending the disciples out for kind of their training missions. He says, "Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than in that city." That's Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And the point he is making, the point I glean out of this is, hey, these guys reject your message. You don't sit here and just do everything possible to get them saved. You don't sit here and continuously try and convince them. You simply let them do what they're going to do because God is ultimately going to be the one that settles all accounts in the end. So he specifically says to them, simply leave the city, leave the people. So if you're preaching the gospel regularly, like, I gotta get Brother Joe saved. I gotta get him saved, man. And you're constantly, every single time, preaching the gospel, you are probably disobeying this verse, which says if they do not receive your message, walk away, shake the dust off your sandals, and go to somebody who will listen. That's exactly what happens with Paul. He goes in, and every time he would go into a Gentile city, he would always go and preach first to the Jews. And when they reject him, and they always did, then he would leave. He writes in Acts 18, verse 6, "They resisted and blasphemed. He shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.'" What is the message here? Preach the gospel, and if they don't accept it, move on to the next guy. This whole idea that we have to just keep on working on the same people over and over and over and over. I'm sorry, they've heard the gospel. It is up to God to transform their heart. Go and preach to somebody who will listen. That is the message over and over in the scriptures. And then, of course, the final point I want to make here is in Revelation 13, verse 12. It is Satan who is the one who wipes out the world religions. You see, everyone's like, God's going to come back and wipe out all these false religions. No, he's not. Nope. He doesn't. It is Satan who wipes out the world religions, believe it or not. In Revelation chapter 13 at verse 12, and he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He makes the whole world worship this guy. That is one specific false religious system. Now, it's going to start with the coexist bumper stickers and the softening of Christianity, where you can't tell the difference between the Episcopals and the Methodists and some of those branches of the Presbyterians and the Catholics and the Satan worshipers. Yeah, it's getting that bad in many places. It will start with all of this, and it'll just start this wishy-washy new age, I accept God, and we're kind of to that point almost in a way. Ultimately, though, is going to be a forced worship of the beast. All religions will be abolished except the worship of the beast. It is Christ who wipes that one out. But ultimately, yes, the true worship of the true God is the ultimately concern here. And I think that God has set up the world in the way he did so that some nations have the freedom of religion. They can gather resources and open, preach the gospel open, and send missionaries into other restricted places. Other places tend to give us some of the stronger churches and some of the more committed and faithful people for that particular reason. So I don't think that this is a specific issue that we should have a freedom of religion or we shouldn't have a freedom of religion. We should all be Christians planted in the place where we are and seek first the gospel. It says in Matthew chapter 6, seek forth his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, referencing all of the needs that you have in the world, not necessarily your wants, but your needs will be provided for you. So hopefully that was an interesting discussion. I believe that the New Testament does paint a freedom of religion, but I think that God uses all of them perfectly fine and as well. If you disagree with that, let me know biblical arguments down in the comments below. I'd be interested to hear that. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.